Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I remember thinking, what am I thinking? And I remember holding the wheel going, what are you doing? It was one of the scariest moments. And that when I got home from that trip, I got Simon, my baby's father, and I called him into the garage and I just burst into tears. I'm like, I need help. I'm not thinking right. And
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Talk to Me, Sis. In honor of May being Mental Health Awareness Month, nothing is off limits. Nikki and I are going to get real. We're going to talk about mental health, ways that we support our sons that are on the spectrum and when they dysregulate and sort of their mental health and best practices that we have found over the years with our sons and about ourselves. And we really want to recognize that there are a lot of people out there struggling. Yeah. And we want to make sure you understand you're not alone and that we've all worn the t-shirt. Nikki, welcome. And I think we're ready for this conversation today.
I think we're ready. So good to see you. We haven't seen each other much for the last couple of weeks. So this is fun.
I know.
Glad to be back.
I'm having a little bit of a raspier voice today. Sorry, guys. This weather is crazy.
That's right. You've been on the go, too. Lots of talking.
Yes. Yes. But we have to get to our plot twist week. Plot so, twister. Nikki, I'm dying to hear yours. Okay. What's going on over there,
okay,
sis?
Well, for once, I have a funny silly. So mine is not like a big meaningful moment this week, but I mean, it was kind of, but it's funnier. Tanner and Midge are in New York City doing some work for Wavel, the app that Midge works for and Tanner represents. And they are in the city for a few days, and they were lucky enough to get tickets to a Yankees game. They were gifted tickets, and they got to go tour the new sensory room that the Yankees have put in the stadium, which is amazing, really cool setup they have. So neurodivergent people can go and rest and, you know, take a break from the action and then come back and enjoy the game. So Tanner got to tour that and all that. And then they were able to go down near the players and watch them do some batting practice and interact. And he got to meet Aaron Judge. Well, I am not a baseball follower. My husband is a religious, avid baseball follower. So I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know who that was because I just don't follow Major League Baseball.
Right. But, and it's the Yankees.
Yeah. I'm just like, that's just not something I watch. But Mark almost had a heart attack when I told him who Tanner got. He was like, he's meeting who? He's doing what? So Midge is, of course, blowing our phones up. We were out to dinner last night with pictures as this event is happening. And she sends us a little video, and it's Tanner with his initial meeting with Aaron Judge, who is, I guess, arguably one of the best baseball players in the world right now. And my child says to Aaron Judge,
gosh, what does this man say?
He's like, are you Aaron? And he said, yes, I am. He said, oh, so nice to meet you, Aaron. Here, I'm going to write my name on this hat for you. Stop. He autographed his New York Yankees hat.
I love Tank so much.
To Aaron.
Tanner's like, you may not realize who I am.
I mean, right out of the gate. Are you Aaron? I am. Oh, well, here, I have something
for you. Let me get you something, Aaron.
I'm going to write my name on it. I was dying. I mean, it was the cutest, just like, I mean, and it was so authentic. That's so Tank. He's like, hey, I'm here. Did you want to meet me? Let me just leave you a little something.
Oh my gosh.
And
I love him so much.
Aaron handled it. He was so gracious. And he seemed genuinely thrilled to get the hat. So they, and then
I would want a Tanner signed hat.
Me too. And he signed the jersey that they gifted Tanner. So they exchanged autographs and it was great. And they had a nice little interaction. But I just thought that is the most Tanner thing in the entire world for him to be like, hey, let me give you a little something there, buddy.
I was saying something today, actually. We were somewhere and Connor was like, not to toot my own horn. And then he proceeds to toot his own horn. Right. And I was like, I just looked around and I go, we have zero self-esteem issues.
No, zero. None over here either.
Same with Tanner.
That is not one of, we have many, many issues that need to be worked on. That's not one of them.
Not at all. Nope.
But what about you? I understand that you've had an eventful day.
Connor and I, we had a pretty exciting opportunity, or he did, not me. I was just supporting him, driving him, and right. being the backup for water bottle holding and all that. but Connor and the First Lady of Georgia, Marty Kemp, and the mayor of Atlanta, Andre Dickens, the three of them were collaborating to do a public service announcement to raise awareness and prevent human trafficking
wow.
here in Atlanta while FIFA World Cup comes in next okay. month.
Yeah, huge event.
It's been a lot of planning, a lot of Zoom meetings, scripts going back and forth, right. a lot of organizing. And we had to leave really early this morning, so there's a lot of accidents and get down to where we needed to film. We had some severe weather. We're having it today as well. Severe weather in Atlanta last night mm-hmm. that I guess kept the mayor just really busy late into the wee hours of the morning. So the mayor was just unable to make the filming. So the First Lady, they all requested for a reschedule. Well, our schedule is crazy. The plot twist is everybody was set up. The cameras, the setting, everybody. We were there. They had a makeup squad there. Everybody was there. And two of the three major players were just not unable to come. So they modify the script on the spot, load it into the teleprompter, and stick Connor in front of the camera.
Oh, my gosh.
And he does it in one take. Well, I mean, they took multiple takes, but like he just...
Wow.
So proud plot twist. And you know, also...
He's amazing.
He was so good.
He's amazing.
I was worried about... just the whole curveball of, okay, Connor, this is what we've been talking about, what we're going to do. And now all of a sudden, you know, we are dealing with someone with autism who we do the best to give him expectations right. of the day or what the event is going to be.
Sure.
And all went upside down and he just rolled with it. So
amazing.
It was so good.
What growth and maturity. That's so awesome. Yeah. And he's so good.
And then a script he hadn't seen going into this teleprompter and he just... We're driving home and I'm like, how do you do it? And I asked him, I go, how do you do it? And he goes, Mom, I just pretend I'm in a movie and I'm somebody like really important and I have an important message to deliver. I go, well, you are both
you
of
are.
Those things.
You are. And that was an important message to deliver. That is amazing. Yeah. Isn't that crazy that he has that gift? I mean, that's just so wild that he can just throw off any kind of insecurity, any kind of, no lack of self-confidence. He just hones in and does it.
Yeah. And it was like the script I'd been making him memorize right. was gone. You know, it was like, it was crazy.
That would throw anyone. That would throw, I couldn't do it. No way.
The little producer there, he's like, I don't know a lot of people. Like, I mean, you know, he's like, that could just pick up those pieces that quickly.
That quickly
on the
spot. I
mean, it really was the first take. They were like, wow.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Let's
do a couple
more. We need to do it again.
Yeah.
Good for Connor. I'm so proud.
So it was a unexpected morning. A lot of driving in traffic.
Oh, that's exhausting.
Weather and all of this that we got going on, but it all worked out.
Oh, yay. Well, I'm so glad you made it back in time to have this conversation. And I'm so proud of him. That is so awesome. He should feel so good about himself.
The only thing that would make it better is maybe a Tanner autographed hat.
Right. They could have just called Tanner in exactly at the last minute.
There we go.
Oh my gosh, no, that's funny. Both of them showing what makes them so incredibly unique and special and doing their thing in their own way.
And along those lines, I want to move into kind of like what could have been, potentially a dysregulation or a meltdown.
Oh, 'cause that 100 million percent
was in the cards, you know? And I even think a couple years ago, something like that, like Connor just might not have been able to recover or pick up because he, you know, he still does have moments where fatigue and all that right. set in or things go awry. I was so proud of him, but I was definitely Amazing. Ready if not, you know, I had some waters and snacks in my, yep. in my bag, and I had already scouted out. There was the area where they were doing makeup was behind like a dark partitioned wall.
That he could go sit.
That he could go sit and just sort of pull himself together. So I think it's good to talk about, like, even now that the guys are the age they're at, even maybe through the years, right. some of the ways that, how did you support Tanner when, let's say, you were somewhere and he was dysregulating or just kind of lost it? I mean, did he even have those moments?
No, he definitely did. Really? And he honestly, and I know we've talked about this, we're still discovering what triggers dysregulation and what, for Tanner, and I've said this a million times, his two hard issues are unexplained anxiety, really, like anxiety without really any known origin. Like there's usually not like a catalyst, not something that happens. He just will one day be very anxious. And he's very, very, very OCD. And what we have really realized in this season of busyness of the last 2 years, it's when he doesn't have enough going on, when he has too much downtime. And I don't want to in any way say that, you know, he doesn't make bad choices, but he doesn't always make, if he's not at work and he's already cleaned up his apartment, he's already washed up the dishes, he doesn't always choose things that are super productive. He doesn't choose anything that's really destructive, if that makes sense. Yeah. But he doesn't always choose things that are super productive. Like he might watch movies he's watched a million times, or, you know, if the weather is bad and he can't get outside, he might choose to do very repetitive things that don't stimulate his brain or make him think right. at all. And then that seems, what we've observed, to trigger some OCD thoughts. And then he will get in a little bit of a nonstop train in his mind where thoughts are just rolling, and he might have a memory, or something on a movie might trigger a memory yep. of something that was difficult for him in the past. We get questions a lot, and people just in our real life and online, you know, oh, isn't he stressed? You know, all this traveling, all this pressure, all these speaking engagements, all, you know, blah, 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 all these commitments. We have found it to be quite the opposite. Tanner seems
he's thriving in that. Yeah.
Thrive under pressure, as long as the person who's helping him navigate it, whether that's me or whether that's Midge or whether that's Zach, his helper up in Clemson, is in tune with his cues and knows when to give him some downtime. I feel like Midge and I particularly have gotten to be pretty masterful at reading his body language, and he's getting much, much better at advocating for himself and saying, I have a headache, or I'm tired, or I really need a break. I want to go home. Like if we're at an event and he's like, okay, like George Strait came to Clemson, which is walkable at Death Valley. We were able to walk to the concert. Well, Tanner had to work the next morning and he has to get up at 6 yep. when he works. And George didn't come on until 9 something. But Tanner had said that he was walking home at 9 because he wanted to go to bed at 10. He watched two songs of George. He watched the two openers. He watched two songs of George Strait. And he said, I'm going home. I have to go to bed. I have to work in the morning. And we're like, oh, do you want to just hear one more song? You'll be okay. You can take a nap. And he said, no, I'm going home. I have to get up in the morning. And I thought to myself, when he was younger, I might have been like, oh, no, stay. You know, yeah. come on, stay. You're missing the best part. But it's like, no, he's 27 years old. He knows his body. He knows his mind. Yeah. He has the capacity to walk home safely by himself. He knows what he wants to do. Shut your mouth, Nikki, and let him do what he wants to yeah. do. And let him be the leader. And he did. And he felt great, and he got it, and he was, and for him, he didn't think a thing about missing most of George's set. What he was thinking about, it's important to me that I get the rest that I have decided in my mind is necessary. So
I love that.
I feel like we're really learning how to read his body language, read his cues, and every single, if it's humanly possible, we always, always let him say, this is when I want to go to bed. This is when I want to get up. This is so that he feels ownership and control of his schedule.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, sometimes when we have to do speaking engagements, we have to fly or we have to do something, you know, a get up time or a bedtime is prescribed. But we're always trying to continually hand him more and more and more control over his own schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And I think that's what Connor and I actually talked about this today, like how he's gotten so good at self-advocating and saying, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, 27 years old. And
I was going to say it takes into the 20s.
I know,
yeah.
But I love it for him. I mean, he asked me something recently and he looked over at me and he goes, it was last week. He was at me. He's like, I want to go. And I said, Connor, I'm your mom. But at this point in time, like, you're a man. You don't need to
do what you want to do.
But when he was younger, and even now, when he dysregulates, the best thing with him when Connor's going that direction is to immediately back away from him, like mm-hmm. just to de-escalate Connor. I've noticed over the years, Connor's looking around the room, and if the room is still chaotic, it escalates him even further. So,
wow,
my first cue is to just as quickly as I can take myself down. I mean,
yep.
And you've traveled with us, Nikki. You've seen Connor and I.
And you've seen it on our end. It's so true. They feed off whatever energy.
And I remember we were at dinner in LA and Connor mm-hmm. and I had a little thing. And I kind of quieted myself down. Connor took himself to the restroom.
Yep. He sure did.
And Tanner went to the restroom with him to talk to him as a friend, which was so sweet. And when he came back, it was just, we left it there. And you know, if there was anything to resolve, it wasn't the time or the place. But I did notice, like, me settling myself down, or if it's a family event and Connor's starting to dysregulate, let's say if it's Jack who's annoying, I was like, just getting everyone to take several steps down, get the room quiet, it gets Connor there quicker, or letting Connor just leave the space completely. That's been the best way for us to handle it. And as a child, I remember just not putting him in a timeout for punishment, but removing him from wherever
we
were.
More of a quiet timeout. Yeah. Yeah. Like a decompression,
like a break
kind of thing. Like, exactly.
Get out of here.
Oftentimes, I'm wondering if other parents of young adults with autism will relate. If he gets upset, hurt, dysregulated, whatever term you want to use, then it will trip into like a memory or something that he's been holding on to that bothers him. It could be from when he was 8 years old. It could be from when he was 12. It could be from when he was 15. And then he'll start having like obsessive thoughts about that unpleasant memory or unresolved issue. And then he can become very grudgy and upset, maybe for 2 days, 3 days. It can hang and it become like a theme. And we have found that we really have to just give him space to feel it and let him feel it. And a lot of times he needs to cry.
Yeah.
And we have really found that he needs to have a good cry every once in a while. And he needs to be hugged, have his back rubbed, aww, have his head rubbed. Yeah. And he's cried to you over the phone.
Yeah, no, I've gotten that phone call. Yep.
Yeah. And I think he is such a feeler and he's such a empathetic, like, you know, he's very perceptive of other people's emotions. And I think he feels things, just really holds things close to his heart. And every once in a while, it's almost like that has to all pour out of him. And the differences in communication, maybe he doesn't always get to communicate as fully or as clearly as he would like to. So there's a lot bottled up. And then if something becomes a negative situation, he's got to get it out. Yeah. And then a lot of times we'll find after that good cry and someone just sitting with him, rubbing his back, rubbing his head, giving him a really tight hug, give him a couple hours. And then
he's
back. Like it released. It's like he released it.
There is something about a good cry. Seriously. Mm-hmm.
It's cathartic, yeah.
Release of emotion. I'm all about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really crazy. Like, we've really noticed that sometimes it's, and I often wonder, and I'm putting this out in the universe as I'm wondering, I don't know. I would love somebody who does know to comment and tell me. Like, the years when Tanner's communication was more stunted, he's always been verbal, but I would not say that he certainly didn't have normal conversational ability for a long time. He did not have normal receptive communication and below average expressive communication, even though he had words. Sometimes I wonder if there's just pent up repressed memories of things that he wanted to say or wanted to work out or wanted to get out or discuss with someone or resolve with somebody that he never did. And those things are all just brewing in this underneath the edge for him. And as long as everything's going around okay, he's fine. But every once in a while, we have a bad day because of something else. And then he has to get out those old memories too. It's just a theory me and the girls have that we like are noticing in him as he's getting more mature and more verbal and more expressive and telling us more, because his language has exploded again in the last few years.
I love that. I do think that good cathartic cry is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in terms of like you, Nikki, like what do you do? How do you get through like a good day versus a bad day, or, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I'm really going to age myself here. I feel much more or much less volatile since I'm postmenopausal. It's weird. Like, there's some things that are much harder postmenopausal, definitely. But my emotional state, I feel like I was a lot more up and down. And I think that makes sense. I mean, when you're cycling, you know what I mean? When you're a younger woman and you're and your hormones are rising and falling and rising and falling and rising and falling. When you're postmenopausal, they're much more just stable across the board. I feel more grounded and more just like I'm kind of always the same. Like, I don't feel like, well, also I have less pressure on me too. I mean, like, I had a lot more pressure on me when I was younger. Yeah. But I think that is one positive thing about midlife. But if I go through a bad season or a downtime, for me, it's always been about talking to people close to me.
Yep.
I mean, like, I'm a talker, I'm a feeler, I'm a sharer, and I have really close, trusted girlfriends. I'll talk to Mark. I talk to my daughters a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Midge and Taylor.
That is cool about having older kids. You can actually, the relationship switches a little bit. Yeah.
And they know me, and they're honest with me when maybe a lot of people wouldn't be. Like, they know my flaws, they know my strengths, and a lot of times they're my biggest cheerleaders, but also the most honest.
Yep.
And they're like, well, Mom, have you thought about maybe you need to XYZ, or maybe you need to think about it this way, which I really appreciate because they do it in a nice way. But I have to talk to somebody. Like, if I hold things in, that's poisonous. Yeah. I'm also really big on physical activity, really big. I love my routine. When I'm at home, my nighttime routine, a bath. And I know a lot of people think baths are gross. I'm sorry if you think baths are gross. I love a bath. I do rinse myself down. I have a sprayer thing. But, you know, I am a bath person at night, and just like little rituals calm me down and make me feel grounded and better. But really, for me, the main thing is talking it out with people. And I know for some people, that's the opposite. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I love some good therapy. I don't have a therapist right now. But in the times in my life where I did, I did enjoy it. Although, I have to admit, the most recent round of therapy I did was a couple years ago. Just, you know, I think it's good every once in a while to get like a professional.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
for sure.
But part of that does feel like, okay, I'm starting at ground zero with somebody. I noticed for me, and this is just me being honest, we started getting deep into some stuff, you know, about maybe some root causes of like my behavior now from like maybe my childhood. And when we started to get into those spaces, I stopped going. And I, you know, really? I was like, you know, it was almost getting too hot to the fire for me to deal with. And I was really fascinated by that about myself.
That's very interesting.
I was really fascinated about that, that I was so into it. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. I really want to. And there was a particular family relationship that I felt at the time that I felt like I wanted to deal with. And as we just were delving more and more, and she was getting closer and closer to the nerves, I moonwalked out of it. And I don't know. And so I haven't gone back since then, but I do love some good therapy. I have so much respect for it. And the people who really do the hard work and stick it out, I'm so impressed. And I love that. Getting it out and talking is a big deal for me. I'm not so big into the physical exercise part of it. So for me, it is, like, I don't know if this is healthy, but like I like to go escape in ways of like, I'll go walk around a mall and shop or go in. Yeah. I love a movie. I feel like escaping into a movie or a TV
show. Do you feel
like
movie theaters are like dying now? Like I have not been to a theater,
I love a theater
in a hot minute.
No.
I love them.
In fact, and there's just some movies I believe you have to see on the big screen. But I escape in ways of like, I don't suggest like, because I know that can turn into a problem for some people, and that's defeating the purpose. But even if I'm just shopping, I'm not even buying, I'm just
looking.
I'm just, I don't know. Sometimes that is my go-to, is just sort of, I need to just remove myself. Almost like I would say Connor does. Like I have to remove myself from whatever's going on and go into a place where like a movie, I don't like to read, so I can't say I dive into books, but a movie theater or just browsing around and taking my mind off it and just getting into a different world or surroundings.
Yeah, like a different world. Is, like you're putting yourself in a different reality.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's so valid.
Yeah.
I used to be such a reader. Like I was a voracious reader my whole life. When I got older age vision issues and started having to wear reading glasses, my love of reading, I have to force myself to read now because it gives me kind of a headache and makes my eyes tired. Yeah. But that has been one of my goals for 26 because with all, you know, Tanner's accounts and doing everything, I feel like I'm chronically online and so on my phone, and which is not healthy for anybody, and I'm totally aware of that. So I'm trying to get back into reading, and even though I enjoy it and I'm enjoying the book, I'm reading one right now that I want to talk about it some, and we can talk about it at the end. It's incredible, written by an autistic young man. But it's physically hard on me and it makes me tired. So it's like a discipline to make myself sit down and read. But I am like, I need to get my behind back into books because it's so good for you. It really is.
And you know, you made me think, another thing that I have done, and I find it helps me if I find myself anxious overnight and I'm up in the middle of the night.
That's the worst thing ever.
I get the scariest. Everything's scarier at night.
Horrible.
Like at 2 in the morning, I mean, it's like every boogeyman is like in my room. I don't understand what's going on.
And everything that might potentially be wrong with one of your kids, the slightest little thing in your marriage, the slightest thing about the future is just
magnified.
It's a 20-foot giant in the middle of the night.
I don't know why. Absolutely. And he's like tapping me on the shoulder. I'm like, stop.
Yeah. And you're like, it's all going to, we're all going down.
But I can just like, I'll pop my little earbuds in. I have a prayer app. There's also the Calm app or like a guided meditation app. And the guided meditation app is so cool. It literally walks you through each body part to tense and how long and relax and just moves successively through your body and then breathe. And then it just kind of takes you on this windy road of just getting off of whatever's spinning in your mind. And it has been great. I'll find the app. Maybe we can add it in the link to this show.
Yes.
And then I have a prayer app that I like to use that, you know, you can pick or choose one yourself. But it has a daily, and it's how I start my day. And it is really, before I get out of bed, I set the alarm and then I give myself those 10 minutes. But there's big gaps in the guided prayer for breathing and just sitting.
Amazing.
And because I'm so hyper and ADHD, I need that guidance. I'm not able to. I'm always amazed at people who can sit and quiet themselves. Like really just get a mat or just go sit and actually quiet themselves and sit.
Mm-hmm.
I will do it, but I genuinely need take four deep breaths right now. We're going to sit for a minute and then there's a pause and then they come back and say something else. I mean, honestly, that helps me. So that's a godsend for me, is for sure my prayer app every day. I love it.
I need to know the name of that app.
I'll give it to you. Yeah. The one I use is Hallow. It's like a Catholic based one, but because that's what I was raised. I just think if you find one that works, it just gives me a nice daily scripture, and then it tells you when to breathe, and then it just lets you sit.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
And, you know, that's the biggest thing I think for this month is it is Mental Health Awareness Month. What are you doing for your mental health? Self-care,
right.
Self-care. We all hear it, but sleep is so healing. We need
Oh my gosh, so important.
I underestimate the power of sleep. Sleeping, we all know, eating right, all that. But self-care, try to focus on that for yourself for positive mental health. And then if you are struggling, if you're in a low valley, reach out, put your hand up, ask for help. Just don't go it alone. I really, when I get direct messages of people that are really struggling, like, you can't answer all of them, but there's a few that I'm like, okay, I'm actually going to reach out. I'm going to try to give a resource if I can. Not like I'm a trained professional, but you know, I'm a mom and I'm a human, and I don't want to know.
Even just a word of like, I hear you, I see you, I understand. Yeah, it's hard. It is. It's life is so hard. It really is. And I think, you know, it's having like those little things that you can go to for yourself and finding just that quiet few minutes of the day. It's getting harder and harder in the world that we live in. To really just, and I find getting outside, like the other night, it was just a beautiful, cool, breezy night with a gorgeous sunset. And it was just me and Mark and Maverick here. And I was like, Mav, put on your tennis shoes. He was already like showered in his like sleeping shorts. You know, I was like, put on your tennis shoes. We're going to go walk. I said, let's just go outside and walk. And we walked for like 30 minutes just down the middle of the road because nobody was on the road because we live out in the country. And we just talked and talked. And that was like such a treasured 30 minutes. It was breezy and beautiful. And we watched the sunset and we talked about his freshman year and we talked about sophomore year and what he's going to do this summer and the rest of his college. And I was just like, you know, sometimes we forget. I mean, I get so into how much can I accomplish in one day because I'm so accomplishment oriented. I'm so like productivity oriented. I'm like, dang, just go outside.
Slow down.
Go
I
outside.
I also think, you know, having healthy boundaries is stuff that people need to talk about. I know since I've really had to kind of take a step back from my office job full time. I mean, I was in there yesterday. I mean, I still pop over there and do stuff. Work. But working from home, and I know a lot of people do it. That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And
so hard.
I'm not doing a good job right now. I'm going to put myself on the spot. I'm not doing a good job at the boundary thing because, you know, this is the space I actually work in right here behind me.
Yeah, me too.
And it is so hard to shut this door and then pretend I'm leaving this area because I'll walk by this room and I'll get a pit of, oh, I forgot. And I'll run in and do it.
I didn't answer that email. I didn't do that. I know.
So
I know.
I need to get better, at least in my house, of setting healthy boundaries with my job. But I do think boundaries, even with people in your life, I've had to put friends or, you know, some family members like in a space where I love you, but you're good here. And,
yeah,
you know, you can come in when I'm comfortable, but if it gets to be too much, then they have to go back to their space. So I think healthy fences up around your life. If you can, I'm a little bit better at that, but it's the work-life balance. Things that I notice hurt just me.
Right.
I don't save myself like I would save one of my kids or my mother or my sister or my brother. Like, I would.
Isn't that the truest statement ever? And I think most women are that way. You don't save yourself.
No.
You would save anybody else, but not yourself. And you'll just throw yourself to the
top. I know I've sat in this seat going, when the mask drop, take care of yourself first because they're not.
Yeah.
I know I've said I can do this. I don't. I'll admit I struggle with actually doing it.
Me too.
I'll spread myself thin so everyone else can be comfortable.
Oh, and the boundary thing, especially like when you work, you know, doing all the social media stuff, doing this, it's always right there in your hand. It's always available to you. You know, that email inbox
is right
there.
Your office follows you, yeah.
It never leaves you. It's always by you. Use it for your music. You use it for everything. And now that I don't have little children tugging at me and I don't have to like necessarily have dinner for six on the table anymore, you know, I don't have those kinds of things. That has been really hard for me because I honestly enjoy the feeling of getting things done, answering back, doing this, doing that. That makes me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to say, don't even think about that till tomorrow. Let it go. All will be fine. That's a tough lesson for me.
And, you know, I feel like, and I don't know if it's because of how I was raised or where this comes from, but I struggle with allowing myself some downtime, like on the weekend. I feel really guilty. That's why I won't nap.
We talked about this.
You
yes,
like a nap.
I love a nap.
I'm like, oh my gosh, that is the worst thing in the world someone could do. To me, I'm like,
that's
you're burning
crazy.
Daylight. You got to be doing something. And that's,
yeah.
You know, it's that balance I need to get better at. I need to get better at that. And
it's so funny how that is such a theme, I think, for so many women our age. But like, I think, and this could be a whole nother 5-hour long podcast, but definitely like guilt and shame are like ingrained themes in my upbringing and in my mind. I don't really know why.
Well, you said like, you had that strict, very.
Yeah, very strict upbringing. Religious. But like why, you know, and why do we, and I've spent my adult life trying to undo that and not pass it on to my children.
I certainly did not my kids because they love them some naps and they can lounge around. Like they can get, you know, gold medals
They're
in
perfectly
lounging
fine
and they
with
are
it.
Fine with it. I'm like,
that's so funny.
No problem. One's on video games, is rotten away. I'm like, what?
What are you doing?
Who are you people?
That is so funny.
Another time I do want to talk about for women, in case there's some of these moms out there, is my personal experience with postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it got, for me, progressively more intense with each pregnancy.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So by the time I had Jack, my youngest,
it was really
that
hard.
Was some of the worst postpartum of my life. Like, when I tell you.
What was it for you? How did it come out in you? Was it immediately after birth or did it not kick in for a few weeks?
Yeah, it was pretty much immediate because I think I was also so overwhelmed. Like I just, I couldn't fathom
so
having
kids,
three
yeah.
little kids and then this baby. The thoughts that I had, I remember just finally crying to my husband. I was like, I think I need help because I just don't like the thoughts. I was never, ever again, ever hurting the children and never really wanting to hurt myself. But the one scariest thought I had, and I'll be real here because I think if this helps one person, I want to share this story. I was alone and I was in my minivan and the kids were home with their dad and I was running into the store, like the grocery store. And I was on this road right about 5 minutes from here. It's one road. And some of the roads in Georgia, we have these like roads and then like two lane roads and these really deep ditches like on the side.
Right.
Like deep gullies that if your car went off, you wouldn't, it wasn't like, and the speed limit on the street, it wouldn't like be a fatal crash. It'd be a problem.
Yeah.
Like you would go in the ditch and probably get really hurt, need a tow truck. I had to avoid this one road after that fourth baby because I was never with the kids. I want to make sure this is crystal clear. I was alone going on this one errand. I started to literally fantasize riding myself off the road.
Wow. And it was just like an intrusive thought.
But it was strong. And it was like, I remember thinking, what am I thinking? And I remember holding the wheel going, what are you doing? It was one of the scariest moments. And that when I got home from that trip, I got Simon, my baby's father, and I called him into the garage and I just burst into tears. I'm like, I need help. I'm not thinking right. And he just, thank God, he just hugged me in the moment. And, you know, I had been crying a lot, but I was like, that scared me. And I remember thinking, what was behind it? You know what I wanted? I was thinking if I go into the ditch and get hurt and I end up in the hospital for a couple weeks, I'll at least have a break. That's how irrational the thinking was for me.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know what's behind this, but it was all those postpartum thoughts. So if you're experiencing that, I immediately went home and told my husband, and we immediately addressed it. We, with the doctor and medication for me at the time is what was needed to help me get through that very scary time. Cause I just was like, these thoughts are not okay. And I don't want anybody hurt and I don't want to hurt myself. So, you know, what,
that's
and it was
fascinating,
embarrassing, and it's embarrassing to tell you now. And that was 21 years ago now, but, and it was a very scary time. So I also did notice that. So if you are noticing that with postpartum or anything that's going on, but that specifically, I had it and it got worse for me. So
yeah,
thank God I put my hand up and we addressed it.
Right.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
It's so, postpartum is such a, it's just such an intense thing.
Did you have any postpartum?
You know, I was honestly the opposite. Every time I had a baby, I would be like on an emotional high.
Wow.
It did the opposite to me.
Oh, you're lucky.
And you know what's funny? Taylor had the same experience. She was literally kind of euphoric after she had the baby.
Thank God, yeah.
Like, but isn't it, but I think it's like the same intense emotional, and I'm sure it's all directly related to the rush of hormones and what's happening in your body. It's such a huge upheaval to your whole system. But I think for us, it just, for whatever reason, it pushed us in the other direction. Like, I felt like I could conquer the world. I was strong. I had this. I could do this. I was.
Oh my gosh!
I had just done this amazing thing. I felt so good.
180 me.
Isn't it funny? And Taylor felt the same way. She was like, "Mom, I feel like I'm so happy. I'm obsessed with my baby. I'm so excited. I can't believe my body did this." And I was like, I felt the same way. But that, not to diminish, but other things were hard. Other things were hard later.
Right.
You know what I mean, I had hard seasons when they were older.
Of course.
But not in the newborn, not in the newborn era. I did have one little weird, I just told Maverick the story, it's so funny you're bringing this up. We just, the other night when we were walking, I told Maverick the story. I didn't have depression at all, but I did have an irrational fear. He was the only baby that we brought home to this house that had 2 stories and where I was taking him upstairs to a nursery. And it's a pretty tall foyer and a pretty big drop off from the railing. I would have this, when I'd be walking to his room, I would have this same thing. I would have this fear
intrusive
that I was going to trip over my own feet and he was going to fall over the railing and fall. And I would hold him. We didn't have any furniture hardly at that time. And I would like hug the wall walking down the, but, and I knew in my mind, this is the most, you're not going to fall.
Right.
You're perfectly fine. Why are you going to fall and drop this baby? But I had the weird, and it wasn't a depression thing. It was just fear.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There was obviously some deep-seated fear in me that the hormones were really, you know, pushing to the surface. But yeah, it's like, yes. And my gosh, if you experience it, get help because that is not fair
to somebody.
Anybody.
Oh, it's that so hard. That little trip to the grocery store. And then I was scared to ride on that road for a little while because I had that thought on that road. So I paired that road with like
you needed
a
to stay
bad
away from
so
it.
I went, thank God, there's another horizontal road.
Another way.
A block away.
But
that
that's smart.
Take.
Yeah, like don't put yourself in that situation. Yeah. I feel like though, like was not ever talked to like people our age when we were younger. Like I was never taught anything about what the birth process was going to be like, how my body was going to feel, how my body was going to look, how I was going to emotionally feel after, like what was the potential what there was the potential for up or, you know, good or bad after a baby. No one talked to me about any of that. So I feel like our generation is doing a much better job of sharing our experiences and what we went through and like preparing our own daughters. So, you know, like you can tell Anna when she has a baby, hey, Anna, this was a really big, girls are often like their mothers, you know, like this was a really big problem for me. Be on the ready, you know,
or say like, something because like you don't have to
call me.
Because getting help was the best thing that I did at that time. I mean, it was so needed.
It's absolute. I mean, oh my gosh. Like the postpartum is so real for so many people and so hard.
Pressure makes diamonds. So
And you learn, you learn from it. Yeah, exactly. You learn from it. And then you take that lesson into the next hard season of your life.
So any other tips and tricks, Nikki, of for those of us who don't want to work out?
No, and you know what? That's a thing too.
Isn't that like terrible?
I always say to people. No, it's not terrible. Cause you know what? Honestly, I laugh about this all the time. Like when I see people out in public, like that, you know, in my community, that and around here, I'm not always, you know, so autism centric. I mean, a lot of what I do is teach, is do the fitness stuff. And I'll find, and this cracks me up. And I'm, it doesn't bother me at all, but I'll find when I see people that I haven't seen in a long time or that I don't interact with on the regular, they'll say, they'll want to tell me right away why they haven't been to class or why they're, especially when I used to
like
run
they feel like you're
the
their, like your mom, like,
yeah,
sorry,
like they
mom.
Have to report to me. And I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I don't care. not like I don't care about you, but I am not judging a person by their workout habits.
Right.
It's just what I like.
Yes.
I like it. It helps me. I don't, you know, like people that play golf, I'm like, why do you like that? That looks like the most frustrating, boring sport in the world to me. I'd rather be shot than go play golf. So I'm like, I wouldn't want somebody to make me feel like I need to go play golf or like, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, I don't think about whether you work out or not. I really don't. Like, it doesn't even enter my mind. I'm just like, if you love it, great. Come on, let's go. But if you don't like it, my God, I'm not going to go do something I don't like.
And you know, I think because it is really important for good health, especially aging and joints and muscles. And I think I have a husband who loves working out. He's very fit. Mm-hmm. He's into all of that. So I think it's my own guilt and maybe not feeling like I'm
coming out. But you know what? Like walking, seriously, just honestly moving, just not being a sitter is the most important thing. And you're like one of the most moving people that I know. Literally, you're always moving. So, I mean, but really and truly, I think we sometimes discredit how much just our daily life movement is doing for us. And I've always told people too, if you don't like the gym, you can walk and do some bodyweight movements at home and it's just as good.
So
you really can get the benefit.
That's the thing. And I think just doing whatever you can do and however you can fit it in.
And if you're liking it, you're going to do it more. You know, if you're happy with it mentally, that's the most important thing. Making yourself do something that you hate will never, ever,
ever
work
out. And I think finally, like, you know, obviously I have friends who, you know, they love a spa day, which I do too, but obviously that's always in the budget and that's real.
Right.
So I think, and we've said it in other episodes, but I think it bears repeating. If you're a single mom, a single dad, or you're just struggling right now because everything is so expensive, groceries,
oh
gas,
my God.
Like life just
horrible.
Everything's so hard. You know, all of us American families were just, honestly, it is just crazy. Just filling up my gas tank was like $80. I mean, it was silly.
Right. Like,
I was
great.
This is not. And then I'm like, I don't want to drive anywhere. I don't want to just stay put.
Yeah.
So, and that's a reality for all of us. I think trying to, especially if you have little ones at home and you can't afford a sitter right now and it's just all kind of crashing, finding the self-care moments within whatever you've got going on. And then again, that is like forcing a bedtime or like, hey, you guys, I love you, but I'm done looking at you for the day. It's okay, moms. It's
okay. But you need to go to bed.
You need to go to bed. It is okay. I can tell you they are not getting trophies for this because I do feel like the 5 years I was a single mom, I would deserve at least a little like medal of honor or some kind. But they don't give out trophies. They're not giving out medals. If you've had a long day and you need a break, they need to go into their room. Go read. You know, there needs to be... You need to treat yourself in that way and not feel guilty about it.
Yeah, no guilt. We're not having freaking guilt. No freaking guilt. None.
They can go and
yep.
sit in their room and read a book or
yep.
build a puzzle, blocks, whatever they want to do. Or yep. if you're comfortable with a tablet, they can go have their downtime, but you've got to carve out some time for yourself if you can.
Abs, you cannot be mom 24/7. It will make you crazy.
Yes. Yes. But anyway, so that's our, I guess, my little prescription for, yep. you know, these are Lisa's little takeaways. And again, I did share a vulnerable story and I'm okay with it. But I think yeah. the moral of that story is, thank God, as hard as it was for me to experience it, feel it, I did go and say something, and that was the game changer. Yeah.
It's always the game changer. You've got to talk to somebody when things are
get help. Yeah,
don't hold it in. Don't hold it in. We're telling Reach that to our kids help. All the time, and we need to tell it to ourselves for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So that kind of wraps up me and Lisa's thoughts on how we manage the hard days and how we kind of help our boys when they go through times of dysregulation. But we want to hear from y'all. We want to know what you do. So if you're watching this episode or you're looking at a clip on social media, leave us a comment. We would love to know, like, what's your favorite strategy for coping with a bad day? If you are an autism parent, what is your best found solution for when your child is having a tough day or is very dysregulated or is having an OCD moment? We really want to know, like, what strategies do you use?
Yes, please share. We all want to have a great community where we can exchange information. And who knows, maybe you have some tips and suggestions for me and Nikki.
I'm always open. Always
same.
Open. I wanted to just quickly mention, because I was sent this book as a gift and I'm not through it yet. And I will talk about it again when I'm through it. Like I said, I'm trying to get back into reading, but I am reading a book called Upward Bound. It was featured on Jenna from the Today Show. Read with Jenna. It's by a young man named Woody Brown, and he is a nonverbal autistic level 3 young man. And let me just tell you, it's on Amazon. You can get it. I believe it's like $19. Get the book if you can get your hands on it. When you think about the fact that he wrote this and he talks all about his time in an adult daycare center and the people that work there and his mother and his father and the other clients at the facility and his point of view on all of them. And then he kind of tells their story from their perspective. It's unreal. It is so good. Taylor's reading it right now too. We both have a copy. So Upward Bound by Woody Brown.
Okay.
Go check it out.
And I bet you can get an audiobook if you're like me and you don't want to read.
Yep. You can audiobook it. So good.
That sounds
so
amazing. Good.
And did you have somebody you wanted to shout out?
Well, I do. But before I do that, I just do want to say some good news in our family. This past weekend, my oldest son or stepson, but he's my oldest son, Hunter, proposed to his girlfriend, Meg.
Oh, and they're so cute.
And I wonder if I can pop probably a cool picture up of him. He took her hiking and he waited for a moment for like the trail to be clear. And he proposed to her in the woods. But what's cool is a husband and wife were like coming up behind them and they didn't see him. And then they dipped behind a tree and the wife made the husband took pictures. So they actually got pictures. Of the moment. And then the couple went up and said, hey, we're not trying to be weird, but we kind of figured out what was going on. So we were snapping pics. And so we got another wedding to plan in our family. So we're excited.
I love it. Congratulations, Hunter and Meg.
Yay.
That's so exciting.
Such a good addition to our family. But
awesome.
Yes, business shout out. She is fabulous. Her name is Erin Clark, and she started an apparel line, and the apparel line is called How's the Weather? And we can link in, it's www.house-the-weather.com. And a little bit about her story, Live It, Wear It, Spread It. My story. This is Erin's story. After the loss of my husband, Greg, answering how are you often felt impossible. I started asking my family and friends to ask me a different question. How's the weather? Those three words created a space for honest conversation, connection, and healing. Today, How's the Weather is a growing nonprofit bringing emotional wellness into communities through school assemblies, weather within journal program, and meaningful conversations that remind us that we're never alone during our storms. And we just felt like this business, this nonprofit,
so cool.
and her apparel is so apropos for this month with mental health awareness.
Yeah.
Check her out. She has an Instagram. It's Erin_how's_the_weather_242. But she has a website, Erin Clark, How's the Weather. She was lovely. She has gifted me, Connor, Tanner, yep, Nikki, awesome merch.
And the hoodies are so soft.
They're soft and comfortable. But she's amazing, born from a true, authentic place. And, you know, how's the weather, guys? Don't be afraid to tell us.
Everybody.
We're all here.
That's right. Yeah, she's great. Yeah. It's a really cool thing she's doing. Check her out. That's right.
And that's it for us,
I think,
girl.
That was it. And the next few episodes, guys, I know we've been teasing it.
We promise you're going to get more than just us.
We promise. The next three in a row, I believe, and we're not going to tell you who. We want you to be wondering, but they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're really great guests. And we're so excited to bring them to you. So that wraps us up for today.
And you know.
You feeling good about it, Lise?
We.
And yes, as you know, we.
Love you, mean it.
Love you, mean it. Y'all have a great week. Bye.
Pioneer.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.